God is so good. Good night. That song will never get old. That song will never, ever get old.
You know, you watch the way the Lord works is interesting. He does things that we don't necessarily understand. And it's wonderful to watch how He works everything out. Sometimes we're impatient. Sometimes we wish God would work them out a little faster. But you know, He does seem to always work them out. He does always seem to have our best interests in mind, doesn't He? Well, we may not see them as that. But you know, He does. And as I looked at these verses, and I know this is going to be nothing new to you, I've heard messages on this, but it just seemed like it was timely. Not exactly sure why, but preachers don't get to question that. We just have to go ahead and preach what God tells us to. Well, I'm not sitting up here thinking that God's talking to me saying, do this. But I just feel that it's timely. I just feel that it's something that we need to talk about today, about how good God is through the times that we have to face tough times. If you look with me at Psalm 84, Psalm 84, we're going to stand together and read verses 5 and 6. Psalm 84, give you a chance to stretch out a little bit. Psalm 84, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 in Psalm 84 says, blessed is the man who is strong. Is that what that says? No. Unless you've got some funny version. Blessed is the man who is capable. No. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about passing through that valley of Baca. What do we do? This is not a new message. I've heard this preached lots of times. This is not mine. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. But I felt as though we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this as a people, because there's not one person in here who hasn't had a struggle. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we will talk a little bit about this valley. Brother Bobby Shell, could you lead us in prayer, please?
I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our ears to hear that you've given him to give to us, and that each and every person here has something that God wants them to give. And I pray that we pay attention and apply it to our lives. And we pray you'll give him power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I don't believe that anything happens for no reason. I believe that there's a reason for everything. I believe God has a grand plan, and I don't believe that plan is too big for the smallest of our things. I don't believe that God is forgotten. I don't believe that God does not pay attention. I don't believe that God has lack of thought toward you. I believe that His thoughts are so precious unto you that they are as the sands of the sea. The Bible speaks of that, that there's so many of them. They're unable to be numbered, because God thinks of you constantly. God is with you constantly. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But there are times that, boy, we wish He was a little closer, don't we? As you look at these verses here, I'm going to lay a foundation with making a few statements. If you look at these verses, it speaks of valleys. In the Bible, valleys are generally likened to suffering. If you look at this verse, you'll also see the word wells. Wells are generally likened to relief of suffering. They are a place, a refuge, so to speak, a time where you can get some relief of the suffering that you're going through. The word Baca means weeping or lamentation. You ever been through a valley that you had weeping? You ever been through a valley where there's suffering? You ever been through a valley where there's lamentation? Where there's great weeping to a point where you don't necessarily see an end? Now, as we look at these things, I want to make you some statements, and I really wish you'd hear these today. Christian, we will suffer. Do not ask God to not have you suffer. You will suffer. You will suffer in some form while you're here. Next statement. Our suffering, boy, this is profound. Are you ready? I'm good at profound. Suffering is always suffering to us. Well, that's dumb. But our suffering, now listen to me now. Our suffering is always suffering to us. Now, what I mean by that is not everybody will look at our suffering as suffering. And we make great mistakes as Christians on this next statement. We should not belittle others' suffering. I get a kick out of Christians from time to time. Oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you about this. One of the gravest mistakes that a Christian makes is not believing that people are having a hard time. The gravest mistake you can make as a person that desires to help somebody is believing that the suffering of Jim Shell, because he's a teenage young man, is less than the suffering you're going through as an adult. Well, I am an adult and I'm suffering more. But his suffering is always suffering to him. Your suffering is always suffering. The Bible says that the Lord will not tempt you with a temptation that you're not able to bear it. You're not able to overcome it. But you know what's funny? He doesn't give you a range of temptations. He doesn't say, Colton, you're going to get this temptation. And this temptation is a great temptation. And all others should bow to your temptation. What he says is he's going to give him something that he's able to bear. But that doesn't mean that that's not the most he's able to bear. We get in our lives thinking that the suffering that we're suffering is so magnanimous that our suffering is far above anybody else's suffering. And if we're mired in our own suffering, thinking our suffering is the greatest suffering in the whole wide world, you didn't think I could use the word suffering that many times in one breath. We think our suffering is so wonderful and so great and so magnanimous, we can't stop to help somebody else in their own. We will suffer. Our suffering is always suffering to us. We should not belittle others' suffering. Look at verse 5 again. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the man whose heart are the ways of them. These are two statements that if you would liken these to a man in this room or liken these to yourself, you would say you're doing pretty well. My strength is in God. My heart is in the ways of them. I'm doing a pretty good job staying faithful to the things of God, doing the things of God, walking with God. My strength is in thee. My heart, it desires the ways of God. My heart is with you, God. My walk is with you, God. My strength is in you, God. And then the next verse comes. Who? That person. That good person. That person is doing a lot. That person is doing great for God. Who? Passing through the valley of Baca. As a good Christian, you will still suffer. One of the easiest ways to get a person to shake their fist at God is a faithful Christian going through a valley. And by the way, don't you dare think that I'm standing up here accusing you of something. I too have shaken my fist at God. Well, you're a preacher. Preachers aren't not ever. You got to understand something. We're men. And ornery. I mean, do you understand? I want you to understand something. God is no respecter of persons in anything. He will give suffering to everybody. I don't care how good you are. Oh, I've served the Lord. Brother Carl served the Lord. He actually was there when Jesus was born. Grandma Sue retired when Jesus was baptized. You know, I don't care, Brother Carl, how long you've served the Lord. One of the most faithful men I've ever met in my entire life. If I could live my life getting close to how faithful he's been, I would consider it a great success. But he's going to suffer. I don't care how good you are. You are not above suffering. I don't care how much you pray to God. You are not above suffering. We sometimes look at suffering in the wrong light, however. Suffering isn't necessarily always a bad thing. Suffering allows us to sing the song, "How Great Thou Art." Suffering allows us to come to the realization of a wonderful truth, that Jesus Christ really did go to the cross for us as sinners, not as good people. He didn't go to the cross because Brother Carl was faithful. He went to the cross because Brother Carl's a sinner. And sometimes without suffering, we get to a point in our life where we come so far from God that we no longer need Him because we're no longer suffering. But then in the midst of suffering, it's amazing how close people can get to God. Sometimes you can go the other direction as well. You can get your point to, God, you've turned your back on me so long, I'm going to turn my back on you. But you don't understand, your back was always the one that was turned. Suffering comes to everyone. Good people, bad people. It doesn't matter, preacher, layman. It doesn't matter, deacon, usher. It doesn't matter, lady that makes the quilts. It doesn't matter, Miss Chris, you will have suffering in your life. You can't avoid it. Next statement. I like this. There is no reason for us to look for a reason for others' suffering. That should be a t-shirt. There is no reason to look for a reason for others' suffering. I don't care if you can come up with a scripture that proves your point. It doesn't lessen the suffering. In this country today, we are so in a hurry to find the blame. But finding the blame doesn't fix the problem. You can say with all your heart, well, bless God, the reason that you're going through suffering is because you're looking at pornography. You know what? That very well may be. But let's fix the problem, then fix the pornography. See, what's amazing to me, if you can get the person through the suffering, if you can get them to understand that what God wants for their life is for them to be here in this position, you can get them out of the positions that are over here. It's amazing to me that we as Christians are about the only religious sect that eat their young and eat their weak. And I'm not coming up to you as a liberal preacher that we should tolerate everything. I think we should tolerate nothing. But Baptist preacher, you know I'm against everything. I'm going to tell you, there ain't a whole lot of new things that are coming out in this world that I'm for. I can't think of one. But understand this. We do not need to hurt or cut or maim or be bitter towards or ignore or gossip about or henpeck or hurt or maim a person that is already weak. If you're so strong, then you need to reach down and help the person. Hold my hand, son, I'll hit you. You need to help this person up. This young man might be going through something in his life. Do you even know his name? What's your name? Dylan. I like that name. It's a good name. My next door neighbors had a dog when I was growing up. His name was Dylan. It's true. That's what's sad. It's a true statement. He may be going through something in his life. He may be. Hey, Marie, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to have you up here. If he, listen to me now. If he, did you ride the bus here today? Praise the Lord. If he doesn't have the bus to bring him to a place where people can tell him that they care about him, huh? Go ahead and sit down. Every one of us will have suffering. Not one of us needs to look at Dylan and say, let me figure out your problem. If you come into my office and try to figure out my problems, we'll get out the directory and I'll point you out to them. That was funny right there. I get so tired of watching Christians uncare. I get so tired of watching Christians peck apart everybody's life. I get so tired of watching Christians, knowing somebody's going through a hard time, either ignoring them or trying to philosophically help their situation. You don't have any philosophic in you. Whatever happened to tell someone like Dylan, man, I'm glad you're here today, buddy. Huh? I don't know what he's going through, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a teenage boy, how old are you? 13. Just turned teen. If you don't think that teenage kids have troubles today, you're out of your mind. Yet we look at their problems and we say, hey, your problems are nothing. Let me tell you about when I walked through the snow 3 feet deep uphill both ways to school every day of my life, no shoes on. And the kid's looking back at you saying, dummy, it can't be uphill both ways. I'm not that stupid. No kid ever buys that. Stop telling the story. But what's amazing to me is we belittle other suffering because we believe we're going through more suffering. And let me help you out. You very well may be. You very well may be going through more suffering, but your strength ought not be in you. Your strength ought to be in Him. And if your strength is in Him, you're not bringing your strength to Dylan's problems. Boy, you better listen to this now. I'm going to help your life if you allow it. I'm not bringing my strength to him. He doesn't need my strength. He needs God's strength for his life. You need God's strength for your life. And if you'll come to the understanding that we should all be bearing one another's burdens with God's strength, not with yours. If you go into the equation with your strength, you're bringing in your flesh dwelleth what? In your flesh dwelleth what? So if you're bringing your strength, what you bringing? Boy, that's good stuff. I'm glad you're intelligent this morning. It's still raining. We got plenty of time. I preach long enough, you won't need your umbrellas. Pray for me. There is no reason for you to look for a reason for others' suffering. Next statement. I'm not even to my points yet. Next statement. There is always a good reason to look at oneself for a reason for your suffering. Don't judge me. I don't have to. God judges you. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm already judged. It's right here. So are you. So are you by the book, not by me. No. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to tell you this right now. You steal money, you'll never collect the offering from me. Don't you judge me. You're a thief. Why would I put you in charge of the money? You've been judged. The Bible doesn't like thieves. We're all sinners, but we ought not be dumb. You're not going to put a pedophile in charge of children's church. Why? Do you need the reason? He's been, or she has been judged. The Bible, the Word of God, judges them. Now, with that being said, and I know that's not popular. I wasn't here for a popularity contest. With that being said, listen to me now. It's good to reflect on you. It's good to examine oneself. It's good to look in the mirror and see what looks back at you. You're going to see a sinner. You're going to see somebody that's not perfect. Unless you're seeing a different mirror than I'm seeing. Truthfully, I'm looking for one of those carnival mirrors that when you look at it, it makes you thinner. I'll lie to myself. I don't, whatever. I suck it in until I get to preaching and it falls out and I can't help it. That's what the belt's there for, so we don't have an avalanche. It's good to reflect on you. You wrote that down, didn't you, Jimmy? It's good to reflect on you. Why? Because you may be doing something wrong. You may be doing something wrong. Do you know why we want you to read your Bible so much? And I appreciate what Brother Grace said. Read it until your heart burns. No, I think you should still read it all. I love him, and I understand that. Read it until your heart burns. But most of you have heartburn all the time, so you don't need your Bible. I think whether your heart burns or not, you ought to read the Bible. I think, hey, whatever. I'm no respecter of persons either. You ought to be in that Bible. Why? Because that Bible will tell you who you are. And not only will that Bible tell you who you are, it'll tell you who he is. And if you find out who he is, you might sing the chorus too when we sing How Great Thou Art. You figure out that, boy, he can use even Dylan here. You could use even Dylan. Why? Because Dylan inside of you, if you're saved, son, are you saved? You know the Lord is your Savior? Give me five. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, inside of you resides an almighty God. You may not believe that, but it's true. Inside of you resides an almighty God. Through you, anything can be done as long as he's the one doing it. And what we do is this, I don't need the Bible anymore. I've got a few key verses. Hogwash, you don't have a few key verses. You need all the verses. You need to know what God wants to say to you. You need to have God tell you, prove you, let you know who you are so you can let him know who he is and take him out to a lost and dying world of people that are going through suffering that's probably greater than the suffering you're going through. And if it's not greater, it's at the very least suffering. And everybody's going through, and you ought to help everybody. But we can't wait to show people how good we are. We can't wait to let people know, I'm not going through suffering because I pray every day. What are you praying about? There is always a good reason to look at oneself for a reason for your suffering. By the way, here's the last statement. I'll get to my points. You bored yet? That does not mean you're going to find anything. Boy, that stinks. You know, I preach a message called Staying Inside the Hedge. And it talks about Job. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Job made all the mistakes that he's laid out to make. I don't believe he had bitterness. I believe he had bitterness towards himself, not towards God. I don't believe that for one minute. God said the man's perfect in all his ways, and he's going to have bitterness towards God. I don't buy that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe Job had bitterness, but I believe he had it towards himself. He believed that he was doing something wrong. He sat in that ash pit with the shards scraping his boils because he thought he had done something wrong. He thought it was on him, not on God. He never blamed God. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Do you know when you look through your life for the reason for your suffering, do you know that you may come up with nothing? Now, don't you dare look back at me as pious people and say, you're right, I'm not doing anything wrong. That still doesn't mean you ought not look. There may be something that's keeping you from being close to God. There may be something there that's causing your suffering. But after you've exhausted the possibilities, don't think for 1 minute that it might be nothing. As you looked at Job throughout all the time, the Lord let the devil in. The devil comes inside the hedge and tears Job up and takes his livelihood away and his family away. But Job still never came outside of the hedge. Did Job deserve to be attacked? Did he deserve the suffering? No, but it still came. And while he was getting the suffering, he still stayed inside the hedge. Look at Jesus talking. Turn to Luke with me real quick in chapter 13. Jesus kind of helps us with this question. What did I do to deserve the suffering? You perhaps did nothing. In chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That just doesn't sound very pleasant. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered? Do you think you're a worse sinner than anybody else because you're going through suffering? Look at the next statement. I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look at this. I know this is talking about salvation, but this works for everyday life. Look at this. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? You may not find anything. You may just suffer. You may not have anything that happens in your life that you're doing wrong. It may be that God needs you for something. Look at this. Turn back to Psalm 84. Here we go. I've got 3 hours. We can see if we can get it done. As you look at the clock, dirty dogs. My roast is going to burn. Your roast will probably burn anyways. Psalm 84, point number one, suffering is not forever. Suffering is not forever. It may seem like it, but suffering is not forever. Look at this. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through. In other words, he's going to make it. You are going to make it as long as you keep your strength in him and your heart in them. I promise you, you will make it. Suffering is not forever. You will pass through. And let me tell you, I've seen people suffer after suffer after suffer after suffer in their life. I've seen people pass through and pass through and pass through and pass through. I've been here long enough to watch people's lives get shaken to the very core, and I've watched people whose lives were strengthened even more at the end of that shaking. I've seen people who went in as weak and baby Christians, and I saw people come out with a maturity that I wish someday to attain to. I've seen people that have suffered through life and had to call upon God. I've seen God answer that suffering. I've seen God protect them and relieve that pain. And on the other side, we're able to help others. Suffering will come, but it will not be forever. I don't care if it lasts the rest of your life. Do you know what the end of our life entails? If you know the Lord is your Savior, do you come to the realization that you're not going to be in a bad place after you die? It's going to be splendor. Streets of gold, walls of precious gemstones. The things that we work so hard to decorate ourselves with in heaven is construction material. And they're not late filling the potholes in heaven, praise the Lord. Suffering is not forever. You pass through. Number two, this is the valley of Baca, the valley of lamentation, the valley of weeping. Sometimes suffering is very, very barren. You ever saw a person suffering? And I've been this person before in my life, and I know my suffering does not attain to the suffering that you're going through or have went through in your life, but understand this. When I was going through that suffering, sometimes I had to face that suffering, and it was very barren. It's very easy to get cynical in a Christian life. It really is. It's very easy to get to the point where, God, I've done all these things, and God, you know, I've done it, and you shake your fist and become cynical at God. Why? Because if you're doing all this, certainly He should do something for you. Come on, help me now. Don't you look at me and act like you've never done that. You did that this morning at Dunkin' Donuts. I'm going to tell you right now, you look at God and you say, God, I've served you for years. I've done everything you've asked me to do, and here I am suffering. I told you you'd suffer. But it will not be forever. And if you've got your strength in Him, He will bring you through. He will bring you through. But you must leave your strength in Him. I taught this morning in Sunday school about the word pride. God hates pride. God hates pride. He hates pride. Hates pride. I can't tell you how much He hates pride. God lists abominations. Pride is in the list. He hates people that don't need Him. You want to know what pride is? People that don't need Him. You think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, so you don't need Him. You're going to go through suffering, and you're big and tough. I'm sorry, I won't flex. I'm about to break my coat. I'm going to tell you right now, you act as though when you go through suffering, you can make it through on your own. Okay, so you make it through. What story are you going to tell? What are you going to tell? You made it through on your own? We're all thrilled. But if you let God bring you through, suffering is oftentimes very barren. Number three, while there is suffering, look for relief. I watch people at times. I like to observe. I've told you this before. I like to just kind of stand back and watch folk. You know, it's amazing to me how many people start to suffer and they stop the church. Well, I'm suffering right now, so Wednesday nights are out. I don't like the preaching anymore. Why? Because your toes were the one we found? It's amazing to me how often people start to cut God out of their life when they're suffering. It's amazing how often, think with me now, don't you know I'm not lying to you. I'm not preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to normal sinners. Let me tell you something. God desperately, desperately wants you to need Him. God desperately, desperately wants you to put your strength in Him so when you go through suffering, He can use you. Use me? For what? What in the world is my suffering going to help with? What in the world is that going to do? When you're in suffering, you need to make sure you read your Bible. When you're in suffering, you need to make sure you pray more. When you're in suffering, you need to make sure you're in church more. Well, you don't understand. I don't like Josh Self. He's ruining my church service. Well, I tell you what you do. You don't like Josh, go sit with him. If you're nice, his wife will change your tire and he'll bake you some scones. I love what Dr. Gray said one time. He says, is there anybody in the whole wide world that would come in this church and sit next to you and ruin your whole church service? If that's the truth, then you ought to get right with God and take it to them. It's amazing to me how we allow anything to ruin our church service. I watched some of you said, we're singing How Great Thou Art. You're sitting here like this. Bless me if you can, jerk face. I think there only ought to be one song. I think this is the way a church service ought to run, and you ain't running it right. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you get right with God, and you start to enjoy God a little bit, you won't be upset about singing How Great Thou Art. By the way, that song's not focused on you. I wasn't singing to Bob Shell, "How great thou art." And there's a lot of things about him I'd like to be. 140 pounds would be nice. Facial hair would be good. Nobody looks that good in a mustache, except him. He's got a mustache that's living, inspired. He shaved it off just like the Santa Claus. He shaved it off. Stand close enough, it'll strike you like a snake, I'm telling you. You're envisioning it right now, aren't you? Praise the Lord. It's non-venomous. Now listen. What are we supposed to do while we're there? What are we supposed to do while... I told you he's going there, right? I told you you'd suffer. Amen? What are we supposed to do while we're there? What are we supposed to do? Now, you remember Job and his friends, they didn't do much help. I mean, they showed up and just skinned him. It's your problem, buddy. That's Christianity today. It really is. It really is. You say amen too much. Man, when you get to heaven, I don't know what corner you're going to find where people aren't shouting. But glory to God. You better just go underwater. Can you look at what this is? What are you supposed to do while we're there? What are you supposed to do while we're in suffering? You need to get closer to the Lord. You do all the things that you can do, but boy, we're not supposed to be selfish with this. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. That means you're going to have burdens that you need help with. Your strength should be in Him. Your heart should be towards Him. You know, think that somebody else has not passed this way before. It's a little bit arrogant, isn't it? Now think with me. Think with me for a minute. Is it sometimes that we feel that nobody's ever gone through what we're going through? You know it's true, right? I mean, we've been to places, but nobody's ever lived through what I've lived through. That's not true. I really believe that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So we need to look for relief. We need to look for these little wells. Look at this now. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, did not sit down and just not do anything. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, did not just take his suffering and just do nothing with it. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, made it a well. I want to take you to a scripture real quickly. Did not have this plan, but I want you to, this is one of my favorite verses of all time. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I've given you this a lot of times, but I want to give it to you right now. I'm running out of time. I've only got 2 hours and 30 minutes. 1, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. By the way, anything you are is by the will of God. Don't get outside of yourself. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this now. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? How much? I'm talking the southern, the northern, every kind of comfort. You're not going to find it in the bottle. You're going to find it in the Bible. If you're going to look for comfort, God is the God of all of it. If you need comfort through your suffering, seek Him. Now, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in how many? I said, how many? I said, how many? All our tribulations, every last one, even Dylan's. even Luke, even Abigail, even Jet. He said all. Hey, listen, Jet's going to be going through some things in the very near future. Aren't you glad God's going with him? He comforteth us in all our tribulation. Look at this. Now, wait a minute. See, suffering is not a spectator sport. Huh? Suffering is not a spectator. There's something you can do with it. There's something you can do with your suffering. We're too busy mired in it to figure out that it's a tool. Suffering's like a shovel. You can use it. And I take your suffering out to the church walkway. Look now. He may comfort us all our tribulation. That we, while we're there in the valley of Baca, that we may be able to comfort them which are in big trouble, which are in huge trouble, which are in worse trouble than us. No, which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, you must do, look at this, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. If I bring you, the fact, Dylan, your suffering is cheap. I'm going to tell you right now, son, I was a teenager once. Let me tell you about it. That's not bringing Christ. Bringing Christ is, what can I do to help you, son? What can I do to help you? Jesus Christ looked down on a suffering and dying world and said, what can I do to help you? It took him dying. It took him dying. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to help the suffering of our world? What are we willing to do? Forget the world. What are we willing to do to help the suffering of a brother or sister in Christ? What are we willing to do while you're in your suffering? Turn back to Psalm 84. While you're in your suffering. Whew. I would to God I could do what I'm preaching to you better. That's how great God is. You sit out there and think, well, the preachers just stand up there and browbeat us. You don't understand. God's been browbeating me over this for a very long time. Aren't you glad? Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. I saw pictures of the valley of Baca. Remember what I started out with, by the way. I started out with valleys are generally likened to suffering. Wells are generally likened to the relief of suffering. Wait a minute. As you read these verses, God is telling you not to sit on your laurels while you're there. He's asking you to dig a little. Because someone else is coming through too. Can you imagine praising the Lord so much for getting you through? Can you imagine loving God so much as you go through? Come here, son. I know I'm picking on you. You're all right. Can you imagine? I've went through suffering. Can you imagine him coming to that same suffering and God making this suffering a well? A place of relief. Your suffering as a place of relief for someone else. God making your suffering that you're going through right now, that thing that you're facing, making it relief for someone coming behind. When you talk about your suffering, can I ask you a question? How do you paint the picture for someone? Think about this for a minute. Do you paint the picture as, oh, If you only knew the suffering we went through. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Do you know what that does? That makes your suffering just as barren as it was when you went through it. But there's a God. Now let me help you. Or do you say, man, we went through some suffering with our preacher. We went through some suffering with our pastor. Hospital, 48 days. Coma. He was in a coma, 14. I believe that he was going to die. But I've got the answer. When we came through that valley, there was weeping, lamentation. There was prayers offered up here at the altar. There was weeping, there was lamentation. But glory to God, our God got us through. Our God got us through. Our God got us through. That can now be a place of refuge. That can now be a place of a well, a release of suffering. The suffering that we faced, we watched God take care of it. Has God ever brought you through something that you're willing to give Him credit for? Boy, that's good stuff. I hope you're listening today. Has God ever got you through something that you're willing to tell somebody that God got you through? Are you willing to praise your Lord about bringing you through a tragedy? I love to hear Brother Sells tell his story. Man, he was sick. He still ain't well. No, I'm that's true on both sides. Praise the Lord. Ha ha! That was funny. I didn't even plan it. God was in that, brother. He was sick. I love to hear him tell his testimony. You know why? Because he never says he brought himself through. Huh? He doesn't say how bad it was, although it was bad. He says, God gave me a verse. God gave me a prayer. God gave me the health. He got me back. God was the one. God was the one. Now if someone else goes through that same valley, Brother Mike, they can say, hey, someone else made it through. Hey, they relied on God here. Hey, there's a well here. There's relief here. Why? Because God was left behind. He took the time to dig a hole. He took the time to dig a well. He took the time to leave behind a place where somebody, if they're going through that same suffering, that somebody can stop by and find relief. In our lives, suffering is not something we just hold on to ourselves. I'm not saying it's not hard. I admitted to you it was hard. I know it's hard. But God's bigger. See, your suffering should get you here. Here. I'm not for forced altar calls. I hate them. I really do. I hate when a pastor stands up there and says, You come right now. I don't like that. But I'm telling you, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned at how not often. I'm a little concerned how seldom Christians find their way here. Why did people close their altars? Why did churches stop having prayer? Why did churches stop having altar calls? Because the church stopped having an altar call long before the pastor shut it down. If we're not going to make our way to this place, it's just wood, it's just carpet. I understand that. But you're not going through anything that you need God for? Well, it's not very big what I'm going through right now. That's not the point. The Bible said all and any. Because if you're not going to take, boy, hold on to this. If you're not going to take God with you in the small, you're not going to take Him with you at all. And yes, it rhymed, Jim. And yes, you should write that down. Listen to me now. You need to understand this with all your heart as a Christian. Why are we Christians? Why do we live our life this way? Why do we have a desire to please God? Because there's others coming behind us that need to know that it's all right. It's all right to suffer. We must help others. Jesus suffered more than any man ever. Ever will suffer. Ever. Why? Oh, this is so good. He suffered more than any man, more than the sons of man. I don't care how much you suffered. Jesus suffered more. Why? So he could leave behind a will. Why? So he could let you know it's okay. Why? Because he wants you to know that heaven's coming someday. Why? Because he wants you to let you know that he knows what you're going through and he can help you. We come to church, it becomes normalcy. All those same three guys singing it again. Oh, my voice is done now, brother. It was done at the first part, I got to be honest with you. Why are we Christians? We're talking about passing through the Valley of Baca. We're talking about passing through the... Why are we Christians? To show that we need Christ. To make a place where others can go. That's what we're here for, preacher. That's why we're here. To show people that there's a place that we can go to find relief. Passing through the Valley of Baca, if you're suffering today, I believe that there's got to be somebody suffering today. Got to be. Matter of fact, it could be everybody suffering in one way or another. Dr. Hiles, always you say, be good to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. I believe that to be true. In some way or another, somebody's having a hard time. Don't get bitter. You got a job to do. Another job, thanks. You already hit us with the shovels and stump removal. This job is by far more important. Listen to me now. We don't need to show that God can. We don't need to show that God can. We need to show that God does. I don't believe, Brother Bill, that it was our prayers that brought our preacher back. I don't believe that. It was God. We did what we were supposed to do. I mean, the Bible spells it out for us. It was God that did it. It was God that met with us. It was God that met with him. Where's the comfort? Where's the sustenance? Where's the relief? The relief is here he sits. God brought us through just like he said he would. And now I know, and I thought, boy, by the way, you think I'd have this under control by now. But now I know that when we're in big trouble or anything at all, God will take care of it. And now I can tell Brother Colton, God will take care of it. Jimmy, God will take care of it. Autumn, God, isn't it good to be able to say, isn't that relief? Isn't that a well? Isn't that a pool of cool water laying in the midst of your desolate valley of suffering? Isn't that the place that you want to come? Isn't it the oasis that's really there? Isn't it something that's so wonderful that you can come up and seek out God's will and know that he cares for you and know that he chose you to go through? Why? Because he knew that you was good at digging. He put you into suffering because he knew that you was good at digging, and someday Dylan may pass this way. Let him know how good God is. Let him know how wonderful God is. Leave behind wells. Leave behind wells. Leave behind wells. Leave behind wells. Leave behind a place to end or find relief from that suffering. Yes, you've passed this way. What did you do? Did you leave it as barren as it ever was? Did you leave it as desert as it ever was? Did you leave it as painful as it ever was? Did you leave it as tormenting as it ever was? Or did you leave a place of refuge there? Did you leave your God there? Did you leave victory there? I just wonder today, while you're passing through the valley of Baca, would you dig a well today? Would you show people how great God is? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, you are so good. There's not enough accolades. Our human mortal tongues could not suffice to praise you, yet even then, our praise is a sacrifice for you. God, you are so good to us. Lord, we need your will and we need your way in every single thing that we do. While we're suffering, God, please don't let us look anywhere else but to you. Lord, I believe you're going to help us through it all. Oh, there's some folks in this church that I know of personally that are suffering. They need you. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do. But Lord God, there's something you can do. Lord, while these folks are suffering, while they're going through, please keep the testimony of how great you are on their lips. Let them be able to praise you through that valley. Let them be able to uphold you through that valley. Let them be able to love you through that valley of Baca, that valley of weeping and tears, that valley of lamentation. Oh God, I believe we've all went through it. Lord, what do we do when we got there? And when we got there, how did we leave it? Oh Lord God, how did we leave the valley? Did we leave it as desolate and as barren as it ever was? Or do we dig holes so that when others pass through, they can find a place of relief? Lord, when we were there, did we ever seek that relief, that refuge that you are? Oh God, please let us do that more often and better. Lord, you love us all. You care for us all. Let us be willing to admit how great you are. Lord, let us put our strength in you and our mind in you and our heart in you. Let us teach others also that that's the place to put all those things. That wonderful, that spring of living water, that spring of water that'll never go away, that spring of water that is you. Lord God, we love you today. Thank you so much for all that you've done. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say you know that you know that you know, 100% sure that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? You know the Lord is your Savior. You've asked him to save you. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. I wonder if there'd be one. Would there be one that you're not sure, but you sure would like to be? You don't know, but you'd like to know. The Bible says that you can know. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So easy. You say, well, that's easy believism. Sure, you believe in him, it's easy. He did it. Nothing we've done. It's everything he's done. I wonder if there would be one like that this morning. Would you be willing to put your hand up as a testimony? I would not embarrass you. I will not come to you. I just want to pray for you. Would there be one that's not sure if they're saved, but they would like to know? Could you put your hand up for me? Then I'm speaking to Christians. Oh, God knows your suffering. He knows what you're going through. He's waiting on you to call upon him. And when he helps you, dig a well there and let people know how great your God is. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this wonderful time. I thank you for the opportunity to preach behind this old pulpit. Lord, please anoint the preacher for tonight. Oh, God, please anoint him. Anoint him as he brings it. We need to hear from you tonight. Oh, God, please. Lord, please be with this invitation. Lord, go up and down each and every pew. Lord, please let us give our suffering to you that we can help others through it as well. Lord, please be with this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all stand. What are we singing, Brother John? Number 382, the altar's open. Come quickly.